Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Everything is about the presence of God. Like Pastor was just saying, God in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen. He came to dwell within us. The enormity of the New Testament and the New Covenant is so huge. And this is why there are so many other doctrines out there. Doctrines that, I mean, people can get fixated on all kinds of things, you know, and without trying to offend anybody, you know, you can get fixated on blood moons instead of the blood of Jesus.
That's right.
Amen. You can get fixated on times and seasons instead of the big need of the season, and that's to be filled with His power and glory so that we can rise and shine and be His testimony and voice in the earth. Amen. And take His power to this generation so that we are never clouds without rain.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And it's a huge... I'm not even sure, you know, what word you could, there's not a strong enough word. We can use the word privilege, but I mean, for God to dwell in us, Amen. The same power, the same glory, the Shekinah presence of God that was in the Holy of Holies, and the priest could visit it and touch it once a year, and if he did anything wrong, those bells around his ankles to signify that he didn't abide by correct protocol, and he dropped dead in the tent, and the bell rang, and so we better drag him out. I mean, this is this God that's so full of glory and so full of power that they couldn't even, the regular person couldn't even touch it during the Old Testament. During the season where the blood of bulls and goats and whatnot were covering over as a promissory note, but now Jesus has come once and for all to die. That's why we know that there's not life on Mars, because He didn't come to Mars and Earth. He came to Earth once and for all seasons, to die for mankind. And when He said, "It is finished," on the cross, it is finished. And to go and to start building a third temple somewhere in Israel right now is total blasphemy against the blood of Christ. The only thing positive you could say about it is that it might represent somebody's hunger to draw close to God that doesn't know the way. But we have to realize that greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Christ in us, the hope of glory.
Amen.
And what the work that He started in us, like Paul says, He will bring to glorious completion until His wonderful appearing. Are you here? Right now, let's invite the presence of the Lord into our lives, not just for this meeting, but in a greater way than we have ever known. Amen. We go from faith to faith, grace to grace, and glory to glory. We've all walked with God in whatever capacity. We've had experiences in God. We've had experiences corporately. We've had experiences on our own. Even if you were just born again last night, I don't know if there's anybody that was just born again here last night, but you've already had the most glorious experience, and that's to come from the kingdom of darkness and be translated into the kingdom of the glorious Son of the Father God's love. And you're His. But we go from faith to faith, grace to grace, and glory to glory. And as Christ is formed in us, His power, His confidence, His joy, His peace, His love, His boldness, and His power. Everything to do with His morality, everything to do with His power, everything to do with His wisdom starts forming more and more in us. Amen. And the way that we come deeper and deeper in Him is walking and abiding with Him in His presence. You've heard about this in this house, you can tell. But I want us to just lift our hands today and just say, "Lord, I invite You to touch my life deeper and faster and quicker than I ever have known to do before." Right now, Father, we lift up our hands and we say, "Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, in manifestation and power into our lives. Let revelation and wisdom come. Let Your presence come upon us from this moment in a greater way than ever before. The reality, the abiding reality of Your presence in us and upon us, let it increase ever more from this moment. Let revelation come in a greater way, that when we open the Bible later today, even now, but in the days and in the months to come, that we will see things that we haven't seen before. as the prophet Jeremiah says, or as you spoke to him, call unto me, and I'll show you great and mighty things that you know not. And so, Father, we pray, even as Paul did too, that you'd give us the knowledge of your will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Fill us with all joy and peace in believing that we would overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Ghost. And Father, we praise you for all of that right now. We thank you, Lord, and with hands reached toward you, Father, we say, Lord, make these hands able. Make these hands well able. Fill these hands with your power. Fill my mouth. Fill our mouths with power. And let your life be lived in and through us in a greater way before, in Jesus' name. Bless us to make us a blessing. Produce your miracles in us, that you would produce your miracles through us. And this we pray in Jesus' name, to your glory and for the sake of a generation marooned in darkness and so many not knowing which way to turn. And Father, we thank you right now for your hand upon us in Jesus' glorious name. Oh, thank you, Father. Let's give him praise for this right now. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the power of your Holy Ghost. We magnify you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your power upon us. Thank you, Lord, for your presence so sweet, for loving us so deeply. How we praise you. What a privilege being your bride, Lord. What a privilege being your family, Lord. What a privilege being your army, Lord. We bless and praise you, Lord. What a privilege being called your body, Lord Jesus. We praise you. Living Lord and King, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, we bless and praise your holy name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I was just standing here. I mean, my heart's full of so many themes. Some of the fun stuff might be after the break. I'm not sure. We'll see how it all goes. But because there's so much going on in the earth today, and I just felt just inspired here, just even as I was standing here, to pull it all in and just start with these thoughts that of what the Lord is doing in the earth overall, and it starts with you and I, Pastor and Pastors and Wanda, we were at the restaurant last night, and we were talking about various different things. We often refer to politics as a sign, what's going on in the earth today. It's somewhat of a sign, but it's not the sign. They thought the Antichrist was here in the year 1000 A.D. because all the signs were now fulfilled. Yeah. Now, how many know that hadn't come to pass?
Yeah.
People in the 1970s were writing books about, you know, with all the things that are transpiring, you know, they're writing books on how the Lord's going to come by 1988. Well, how many know that the Lord did not come in 1988? There were other people that came and made a huge mess in the nation of Estonia. And some of these people you'd know because they're famous in America. Came to Estonia and started talking about Harold the truck driver and some revelation in the vision and how the Russia is going to attack Israel at any moment. And Jesus is going to come back October of 1988. You know, and so on the, what would be sort of like the 2020 of Estonia, the anchors, you know, they're very sophisticated people over there overall, very well read, very literate. They're a little bit too in their heads for their own good, like a lot of people. They're too in their own heads, you know, to follow God properly. Their heads always tripping them up. You know, they think themselves so intellectual that they're so slow to move and so slow to respond to God. And so, but this one anchor, I mean, here it sort of paid out. He wasn't quick to buy into, you know, this, it sounded like really like, so he asked these two evangelists. They were very strong evangelists, young believers, very young believers. One well-known miracle ministry in Sweden, this man of God, you know, who was a part of starting about 1,000 churches directly or indirectly in the former Soviet Union. He said, I'd never seen an anointing on, on young men like these ones that are evangelizing in the streets of Estonia. They got people saved all over the place. It started a whole movement. That was actually before we even got there. Except what happened was false doctrine in the form of weird end-time teaching. End-time teaching that causes you to analyze things and not act is false. By its nature, even though every component might not be false, it's false in its presentation, and it puts us into a position of being armchair analysts with our chronology charts, and we're trying to figure out when everything's going to happen, and we're looking for, okay, this is now Act 1, Scene 1, we've gone through Scene 2, Scene 3, okay, my program says now Act 2, Scene 1, it goes this way, and we're looking for that instead of obeying God. Everything about the book of Revelation is about persevering, about obeying God, and walking with God. And there was a great company in the book of Revelation that defeated the beast even. And we're not even going to talk about rapture here. But they defeated the beast. Whoever they were, whenever they were. These were believers. They defeated the beast. They didn't run away from the beast. They defeated the beast in the number of his name. There were the two witnesses and the companies that they represent. Because church and lampstands and candlesticks are never... olive tree and lampstands are never indicative in the Bible of an individual simply. So they represent something. They represent a company. And this company, whatever they said, went. When they spoke to the weather, that's what happened. That's why the devil wants to hijack weather today. Through evil and wicked people. But weather is in our domain. Weather is in God's hands. It says that the Antichrist tried to change the times and the seasons. It says he attempted to change the times and seasons, but the same book of Daniel says God is the one that changes the times and the seasons. He's the one whose power it all is. The book of Acts, we see how the apostles there, they were saying, well, when are all these things going to happen? When are you going to establish your kingdom? And the Lord just says, basically, I'm going to rephrase it a little bit, basically. You can look what he says. In Acts chapter 1, verse 6, 7, and then into 8, he's basically saying, he's telling them to hold their horses, just like, whoa. It's not for you to know the times and the seasons. So in other words, boys, throw away your chronology charts right now and don't be fixated on that. There's a job to be done. But you, wait until you're endued with power from on high and go throughout Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Because it's time to act, not time to just be an analyst.
Amen.
But see, a lot of the way things are taught, we live in a very entertainment-ruled society where we like being entertained. There's clickbait on the internet. There's things that fascinate us. There's things that pull us, that draw us, and everything. And in all that muss and fuss, we can lose the basic core of what we are all about, and that's servants and handmaidens of the Lord, that we obey God to the full in this life while we still have the ability and the breath in us to honor God, walking cross grain and upstream in a very hostile world full of doubt and unbelief. You can push through that, lifting your hands unto God, walking with God, opening your mouth, and you are being blessed. Those acts of obedience, those acts of honor, those acts of living out the Christ on the inside of you, in the middle of that hostile environment, will get you rewards and dividends that will last for all eternity.
Amen.
You'll never have that chance again. You won't have that chance in heaven. There's no resistance in heaven to push through. There's no victories, there's no battles to win in heaven anymore. That's why the type and the shadow of conquering the land, that talks about now. That talks about a type and a shadow or a prototype of where we are at right now. There's a place that we need to come right now. And that place, some people say, oh, I'm just too tired. I don't need, you know, we're surrounded by such big boys. I don't know if we can handle it. It just seems so difficult. When the spies were sent out, 10 of them said, yeah, that land's sweet, all right. That land's great, all right. But, there's this problem, there's that problem. This land eats up its inhabitants. There's giants there. And we even saw the Anakites there. Distilling all that, they're just saying that, yeah, God wants to give us this place, but even God can't deal with the big boys.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
And they dishonored God. They came back, and as God said, they spread an evil report. They spread an evil report. And they made the hearts of the people around them melt with fear as they heard the words that this is a suicide mission, boys. This isn't going to work because this is long established. The what we're dealing with and what we're trying to change here is so deep seated, and these guys are so tall and these guys are so big, and the corporate identities of these big boys are such that I don't know if we can shake their earth, even with the power of God.
Yeah. Amen. Good preaching.
Right. Now, this is really interesting. We sang the song. Turn for a moment to the 24th chapter. I mean, 24th Psalm. You know, and this is why when we're talking about what God is doing in the earth, it starts with us. I left something open. We'll get there. Because it starts with us. World politics is not the gauge and the measure for all these things. I started talking about these young evangelists, and they made a mess. These anchors on the Estonian 2020. They said, "Well, what are we supposed to believe if Jesus doesn't come in October of this year?" The young guys were just so full of bravado, and they were so taken in by this Western evangelist or prophetic evangelist that came there and started spreading all this stuff. And they just says, "Well, them were all false prophets," and the anchor was just going, "Really? That's how many months from now?" And sure enough, October came and went. And they were literally, they were torn apart by the media at that point. Because this is the end of the Soviet Union. Estonia was starting to break off and make its own decisions, but it was still Soviet Union, sort of like a hybrid between, you know, perestroika at the time. Estonia was making a lot of its own rules, but they're very, like a heady, proud bunch. They always were. I'm not sure which is worse, their proud headiness, or the Soviet, Kalashnikovs, and, you know, all the, I mean, it was quite a mess when we got there. Quite dysfunctional. The average, marriage, I mean, I think the divorce rate was 86%. And those are the ones that got married. Most people didn't get married, and those, for them, the divorce rate was almost certain. This is nothing but women pushing around baby carriages, you know, like, and yeah, you know, "Where's your husband?" "Well, I don't have a husband," you know. And that was the whole scenario. But it was interesting because the situation over there, what was that? What's this? these young men, they were so destroyed by the media that one of them falls away totally from the Lord and ends up in sexual deviance. And the other one falls away from the Lord and moves out of the country. Now, how do you go from flaming evangelist to that? They weren't under proper covering. They didn't have a proper church. They didn't have any sense to really rise up and do the will of God. And one of them's returned. And the move of God did start. A lot of these people that got saved there, it started a new move. But a lot of them wanted to move out of it. There's a company of them. They left Estonia to go to Washington State because they're figuring Russia's going to attack Israel any moment. Well, contrary to a lot of the books that we've read all the time, I mean, Gog and Magog is not even Russia, for starters. Your pastor will explain that more. But, I mean, there's people that have written doctoral dissertations on a very defined level that there's all the stuff that are in a lot of those 1970s and 80s end time books, by now we should figure out that it hasn't gone the way they wrote it. Are you here? And there's a reason why we haven't come into the, like I'm talking about nationally speaking or globally, we haven't come into the fullness of the revival is because we've been distracted by so many non-essentials.
Amen.
We've had idols in our lives. We've had, you know, even with worship, the presence of God is wonderfully here. But some people, they just say, we just have to have a big, orchestra or cantata. You know, we have to have a band. We have to have this. We have to have that. Where does it say, like in Acts 13, when they ministered to the Lord and the presence of the Lord comes so far and so heavily upon them that Paul and Silas, who had a call to be apostles, that was the golden moment in the presence of the Lord that they were separated unto an apostolic call because the presence of God was so strong. Maybe it wasn't in Jerusalem at that time. Maybe that couldn't have happened in Jerusalem the way that it happened in Antioch, but they were so hungry for God. They were so hungry for God. And they fasted not to get something from God, they fasted to give something to God, to minister to the Lord. And all it takes, we've been to a lot of churches, some of which, you know, you're thinking, how's it possible to have such skilled musicians and everything is just absolutely, is like the presentation perfection. And somebody said, "Oh, do you feel the anointing there today?" And you have to answer just like, "Brother, that wasn't the anointing. That was the subwoofer." There was no anointing there. There was no anointing there. It was cold. And you had the most, they were singing like nightingales. I would rather have the power of God on me and sing like a crow, like R.W. Schombach used to say. Amen. Are you here? Because it's not about how beautiful it sounds and all the trimmings being there. It's the heart ministering to the Lord. That's why, as a young believer, I'd be around a coffee table sometimes with some hungry believers. We just sometimes just get down on our knees, sometimes sitting on the couch, whatever, and we just lift our hands. And just two, three, four people around a coffee table, the presence of God can come so strong, stronger than many of these churches of 10,000 people that have all the trappings. They got everything, including the donuts and Gold's Gym. And God says, "I'm out of here, because I'm not going to allow the house of God to be mocked."
That's right.
And I'm not saying it's wrong to serve food in a church. That's not the issue. I'm not even saying it's wrong to have a big orchestra. But all it takes is key people in the band to be doing it out of a sense of doing their thing and performing.
That's right.
And God retracts, and the Spirit of God says, "I'm out of here." The anointing leaves. And that's why it's so dangerous. And turning a battleship like that's not easy, because, you know, you're going to change something. What would happen in a church like that? I said, we're not even going to pull out our instruments this weekend. We're not even going to sing this weekend. We're just going to lift up our voices in worship.
Uh-huh.
We're going to sing it with the Spirit. We're going to sing with the understanding. We're going to pray with the Spirit. We're going to pray with the understanding. And we're going to minister to the Lord. I mean, these are some of the recipe elements that are in the New Testament.
Yes.
Donuts are not in the New Testament. Even the accordion, the organ's not. Even in the Book of Psalms, the drums are there at least. It drives all the old line denominations up the wall because there's drums are there and the organ's not. But ultimately, it's about ministering to the Lord. Because the Lord needs a company that He can operate through. I remember one time I was in Southeast Asia. I'm trying to think if we were there together that time or not. I think I was there alone. And the Lord sometimes does this. He wakes me up at five o'clock in the morning and says something to me. And He uses times and dates oftentimes, you know, just like this. You know, He does it as a bit of a confirmation and stuff. And so He wakes me up at 5 o'clock. And He says, "I have a very difficult time getting a hold of my people because they're living like civilians." He's talking about the army of the Lord. He's trying to raise up people that will really be obedient to Him and available to Him. He says, I have a difficult time because they're not available the way that I want them to be available. Now, this is a very general statement, because even as he said it, there's people that are very available, but this is like a common problem. And then another time, that was around 2018. That was in 2018. And then there was another time, just a few years earlier, then also 5 o'clock. And the Lord says, "Tell my ministers I'm appraising them at this time. for opportunities to be given or access denied.
Amen.
And it's a very interesting thing because, you know, when we draw near to the Lord, He draws near to us. It's very important how we give ourselves to God and whether we say, Lord, I'm all yours.
Amen.
Or whether we say, I'm mostly yours, but you like this area here, no touchy. You can't do that to the Lord.
That's right.
You can't do that to the Lord.
Preach. Preach.
Yeah. And so, ultimately, the Lord wants to walk with His people in fellowship, in deep fellowship. We are to be the bride of Christ. So this is now, this is very interesting too, because, you know, when we're talking about times and seasons, I was talking about politics is not the big gauge of things. Sure, there's wars, rumors of wars, there's all kinds of things. They have always really been and are still. Peter announced in Acts chapter 2 that this is the fulfillment of the prophet, what was written in the prophet, by the prophet Joel, and it talks about that in the time of the end, in the end times. Well, that started in Acts chapter 2, so we're still there. God's rules don't change just because it's the time of the end too.
That's right.
That's even if we want, I may, Lord willing, touch this after the break, but that's why even a true restoration of Israel has to come according to the book.
That's right.
It doesn't come from bombing, destroying civilians' lives. It doesn't come by stretching like a nation out through subterfuge and war. It doesn't come that way. It comes through righteousness, repentance, and God coming down and establishing a move in the earth. Are you here?
Amen.
And when we're praying, everything to do with our lives, it's got to be established on righteousness. That's why it says righteousness and justice are the foundation of God's throne. And it'll be the foundation of our being able to rule and reign with Him in this earth as kings and priests as well.
Amen.
Righteousness and justice. And the Lord in Psalm 45, it says that He loved righteousness, hated unrighteousness. He loved justice. It's interesting, actually, the word in Hebrew in the Old Testament for righteousness and justice is the exact same word.
That's right. Amen.
It's the exact same word. And it largely can be used interchangeably.
Yeah.
And it's got the concept of judgment in there. And judgment's not necessarily a negative thing. You know, you're waiting for God to come with a great stick. David longed for God's judgment. He says, judge me, Lord. Why? Because he's confident. If your dad's the judge, if you're being abused in a civil situation, and you're going to court, if you've got a crooked judge, you're going to go nervous. If you're guilty, you're going to go in nervous. And maybe that's why a lot of people are afraid of the thought of judgment.
Amen.
Because they're living in idolatry.
Amen.
This is if you're greedy, you're an idolater. You know, if you're looking more for the kickoff at 1 o'clock than to come to church, you're in idolatry. Let's face it. There's no way around it. The Lord cuts through all that stuff. We can call it what we want. But see, and it's not wrong to play sports. I love sports. I love almost every sport except basketball. I'm not tall, and that was the one sport I was always one of the last picks in PE class, you know, gym class. But usually it's the other way. But where was I? Gosh, righteousness and justice are the foundation of our ability to rule and reign and walk with Him. And He needs to establish this strong in our lives so that, see, even when the centurion told Jesus, he says, you don't even need to come under my roof. Listen, just speak the word and my servant will be healed. And he says, I'm a man under authority. Under authority. Not of authority. I'm a man under authority. I say to this one, go, and he goes. Another one, come, and he comes. Another one, do this, and he does it. And this is why it's so important, so that we're not like the sons of Sceva as we're rising up to take authority over things in the earth. You know, Jesus I know, Paul I've heard of, but you're not even on the map, dude. You know, so this is why it's so important for us to be in Christ in a way to where we're under governance all the time. We're doing everything with Jesus as Lord. Nothing works properly without Jesus being Lord. And as we're rising up as a body, this is why it's so important to come into this place too. And this, and sometimes this is why the anointing is so shallow in some places where there's so many, because it's not the amount of believers. People take solace in numbers sometimes. And Isaiah, you know, it says, you think you're going to get favor just because you've got contacts in Zoan and Tapanis and, you know, all these Egyptian cities, and you've got this and you got that. But you're not leaning on me. And that's why things aren't the way they are. So we have to come to a place to where Jesus is our all in all. Amen. And Paul was so confident of that, he says, I praise my God that the work that the Lord started in you, he will take on to glorious completion until the day of his appearing. We're confident of that. And we have to just say, Lord, here I am. Amen. Take me, mold me, shape me, move me, put me on the potter's wheel, spin me, mold me, make me. I promise not to jump off the potter's wheel. Make of me who you want me to be, and I will be that. So, it's interesting. So again, politics is not the main criterion. You can have things go this way, things go that way, and people get their eyes on politics. That's why even when Jesus' disciples, they said, look at this temple, isn't this marvelous? And they were asking him about the signs of the times again. Everybody wants to know what's going to happen. But you know what? More than we need to know what's going to happen, we need to determine what's going to happen. Amen. Some things are going to all unfold, and God's going to get his way anyways. But part of the reason that God hasn't got his way is because we have not taken together and we have not co-labored with him. We have not negotiated over people's lives, nations' lives. We instead look to some problem. You know, it's even like whether it's elections or whether it's tricky sometimes because people, they always want to know what Sister Sally's dream was and Brother Bob's vision is. Amen. And what's this man saying? And what's that man saying? And I remember one man of God years ago received the visitation of the Lord at a time when he was walking very close to the Lord. I don't know how he ended. He's in heaven long ago. I trust that it ended well for him. I think it did. But he said the Lord told him that he talked in a general sense that the prophets in your land are deceived. And I'm not going to say it was about a particular issue, and it was about a particular nation, because they had preconceived ideas, and they were deceived, and so you can have a whole company that's not necessarily understanding something, and we're still looking for Sister Sally's dream and Brother Bob's vision, and instead we've got the word of prophecy more complete, unfailing, and it says, call unto me, and I'll show you great and mighty things that you know not. The Holy Spirit has been given us to show us things to come, and that means the things that we need at the time. The Scriptures tell us to pray, first of all, for all those in authority. Mentions four different categories of prayer. That we would live quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. But some people, They're so fixated, they're so hungry to see certain signs of the times that they've learned about in prophecy books, that the more carnage they see, the more bloodshed they see, the more excited they get. Because Jesus is coming. This just shows that Jesus is coming soon. Instead of pleading the case of these people that are abused, instead of pleading the case of people that are you know, human trafficked or war situations, instead of pleading the case of nations, we're just going, oh, praise God, this is another check mark. We're that much closer to the coming of the Lord. Fight on, guys. We're getting excited. Jesus is coming soon. Now, that's perverse. When the Lord tells us, I mean, the parable of the Good Samaritan is, I mean, we can live this out real time. And in our generation, we're not just talking about one man bleeding and dying on the Jericho Road. This Pharisee and the lawyer, they walk, they see this. They don't want to get their hands dirty with the gospel business, so they just cross the street. I'm going to an end time conference. I can't touch this guy. Furthermore, that guy is just confirmation. That, in fact, I'm preaching on that guy. I'm saying this carnage and this destruction. The day of the Lord is near. Bye, guy. I'm going to the meeting. Can't miss my offering tonight. The guy's bleeding and dying on the Jericho Road. Because Jesus was telling this because one guy was trying to justify himself and he tells this parable and a Samaritan comes. Now, Samaritan is not an esteemed inner circle ministerial association flavor of the month. Yeah, and his doctrine was not the orthodox status quo. And Jesus says, this man comes and this man takes care of the guy bleeding and dying on the Jericho Road, bandages him up, takes him to a hotel, sees that he's washed and cleaned up and has all the, you know, the medical care, you know, in that context, and tells the innkeeper, you know me, I'm good for my money. Take care of this guy. When I come back, I'll settle up with you. And Jesus said, Who's a neighbor? Yeah. Who's a neighbor?
Right.
Who's the neighbor? Because the sheep and the goats, when we get to Matthew 25, is like that old Keith Green song, the difference between the sheep and the goats are what they did and did not do. It's not a matter of what we did and did not know.
That's right. Amen.
And so when you have a bunch of people that the head's just getting fatter and fatter and fatter with knowledge, but it's just like food, actually, really, in a lot of ways. If a person doesn't do an exercise and they eat like a horse, they're just going to end up looking 9 months pregnant. And they're not going to be able to ultimately move like they should move or want to move. So exercise is fundamental with eating. Activity is. But with the things of God, God has not called us to be know-it-alls. He's called us to obey Him and do what needs done in the earth. And this is interesting because now we come to a situation as though it's not just politics. People have got pulled off this way and that way and this way and that way. And in the second half, I believe I'll talk some things about how to approach praying for the, because a lot of people have been, they've, it's been like a mind bender. You see a lot of things, people that you think are good suddenly turn. Now, how do you deal with this? How do you pray now? What do you do? The Spirit of the Lord is very consistent. There's some very basic Bible things that we can always pray and always do. And if we stick with it, we're going to see results. Because ultimately, it doesn't depend as much on who's here and who's there as who's speaking the word of the Lord, because that's going to steamroller everything straight. And that's why even in our Lord's Prayer, it starts again with relationship. Our Father, who art in heaven, holy is your name. So it starts with relationship. It starts with, and see, that's a template. They didn't actually, it's not a liturgy. You never see anybody praying that exact prayer. You know, I mean, you can make a liturgy out of anything. You know, He took up our infirmities. He carried our diseases. By His wounds, we've been healed. And all the congregation says, Amen. You know, and if you do that with a dulled mind and dead heart, you can quote that every day of the year until the cows come home, And it does nothing, because those scriptures are verdicts. See, again, when we're talking about God the judge, he's decreed things into the earth. Anything that violates that is a violation of constitution. Even in the book of Psalms, it's a constitution. It says, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. All right, we hold to that part of the constitution. We uphold it. We're going to deal with this. Book of Proverbs. A lot of people are irritated over the simplicity of some of these. It's like little ditties. And we're going, well, I know it says that, but real life goes differently. Case in point. Proverbs 19. It says, a false witness shall not go unpunished. This is 19:5. A false witness shall not escape. Ninth verse, talking about a different level of false witness, evidently. A false witness shall not go unpunished. A false witness shall perish. Four verses apart. Not by accident. God put it in there. People read that and they'll go, well, it's not talking about the 21st century because it never goes like that. These guys get away with everything. They're gaslighting us on the media and they're getting away with it. They're saying, they're witnessing and testifying such and such in court, and it's nonsense. And they know it, everybody knows it, and they're getting away with it. And so people can go, yeah, it's written, but just like the 10 spies that, yeah, it's a great land, but. Caleb and Joshua said, listen, if God gave that to us, this is ours, boys. And even at that, they had to wait until God dealt with those 10. And they were actually, I mean, that generation died. We're just talking about this. Pastor brought this exact thought up last night. That whole generation had to die off. And I don't believe we're at a time right now where we're going to have to wait an entire generation or a 40-year period right now. But there are going to be some things that are going to be shifted around, because the people that need to speak certain things, they have to be in position to hear, to be heard.
Yes.
And if you have people that are locked in a position because of their fame or whatever like that, and they're no longer saying what needs to be said in the body of Christ, you have a problem. Because when you have a general that becomes, or let's say you have a commander in chief or whoever it is that becomes incapacitated, is no longer able to give the right directions, and the army's in the middle of some sharp conflict, you have some very serious problems. And so right now in the body of Christ, the Lord knows this, and so when we call out for justice, Luke 18 style, because again, I'll weave this in here because I mentioned this the last time I was here. Luke 18 is an end time parable. And so, because Jesus said, you know, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in the earth? Well, it was faith to do with his exact situation. What was the situation? The woman was being abused by a judicial system that was not just. And finally, because it even shows what activism can do, in one sense. It's actually quite cute looking at it this way. Because she hammered away, this unjust judge says, listen, I better give this woman what she wants. She's driving me crazy. One translation in Estonian says, before she comes and strikes me in the face with her fist. So I guess somehow or another, it's sort of, I think there's an English translation, one of them, that says that same. And you know, and so even, you know, people, it's like dealing with anything in this life. You can deal with an insurance situation, and it's a battle of attrition. They won't want you to give you your money until you make it so certain that you are not going away. Yeah. And you hammer away at it, and ultimately they're going to give you what you want. We experience that. Because yeah. These guys will lowball you and give you just, it's basically tantamount to a slap in the face, the amount that they're offering you, because it's not even an insult. It's an insult, that amount. And so, it's an interesting situation right now. But that woman said, and she hammered away until he gave her what she wanted. Then Jesus said, now listen to what the unjust judge said. Will not your Father, who is the just judge, answer speedily. Hold your place in the 24th Psalm. We'll see if we get to the 24th. Luke 18. Because again, we're talking about we need to rise and shine. How many know the scripture in Isaiah 60, rise and shine for your light has come? You've heard that scripture? Do you know what the context of that scripture is? We'll look in a moment. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hang on a sec. All right. Luke 18. It actually didn't take me that long to find Luke 18. I was just folding a few pages in another area I wanted to go to. I didn't want to forget. Hallelujah. Yeah, you'd be really in trouble if you're wanting to go to Luke 18 and it's taking you 30 minutes to actually find it. We're still on our way. We're still on our journey. Anybody found it? And he spake a parable unto them, you know, and it says here that men ought always to pray and not faint. Now, this is the first takeaway from here. We ought always to pray and not faint, or you could say not to cave in. Because again, regarding the, this is especially an end time parable. He said it for then, but you can see shortly here that it is actually meant for as an end time parable. And it says here, verse 5, yet because the widow troubles me, I will avenge her lest, actually verse 3, she says, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. The Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry out day and night unto him? Now this should be, when we're looking at scriptures, this should be the first thing that catches our attention. They cry out day and night unto him. he says here, shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with him? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Who will he avenge speedily? Those who cry out day and night. But cry out day and night for what? For justice. So this is something that in the face of all this. Now for a minute I go back to Proverbs 19. Some people will go, well, yeah, but it says here that, you know, like a false witness shall not go unpunished. The false witness shall not escape. But you're looking out the window. Yeah, but there's only one problem with that scripture. They always go unpunished and they always escape. That's really no different than saying, if you're a spirit-filled person and you know that he took up your infirmities, carried away your diseases, by his wounds you were healed, just like it says in Isaiah 53 and Matthew 8, 1 Peter 2, you can know that, but you'll always have somebody that'll hear that. You can quote that, you can hear it, you can preach it, you can say it around the coffee table, but you'll have somebody, they may be a believer, maybe a denominational believer, they go, yeah, but. My Aunt Molly, you know, she just died with cancer last year, and my dad right now, he's got Alzheimer's, and my son, you know, he had this thing happen, and so it's like, yeah, but. But does that diminish God's Word? God's Word needs to be enforced, rigidly enforced. Not to where we allow, like the 10 spies, for God's promise to be overruled by circumstances. Oh, this just looks, I mean, it might have worked, you know, before things got so deep politically, but now I'm not sure even God could solve this. And this is important because God wants to produce a time of freedom in the earth so that we can actually see come to pass before his return, like it says in Timothy, that we would live quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. Some people say, well, we'll never ever see that. Well, I mean, did God speak that through Paul for no reason at all? Or is that something that, just like this spying out the land, the 10 says it's impossible, the 2 says it is possible because God said it. Now, the 2 didn't see the fruit of it immediately, but they were given great position and honor because they chose to honor God and His Word and not back off and capitulate and throw the white flag up with the 10. Yeah.
Amen.
And this situation is no different. Because it's a type and a shadow of where we have come now full circle in this New Testament hour. Because all those things in the Old Testament that you see, they're prototypes of what could and should be a higher order now.
Amen. Preach.
And this is where we are. And this is why these things are so vital. And it doesn't have to happen this way. But it would be better to fight and die.
Amen.
Than to throw up the white flag and live an extra 20 years.
Amen.
And just, you know, and in your, then in, you know, years later, you're thinking, you know, you hear a sermon like this and everything is like fingernails on a chalkboard. You know, man, I have a feeling that I sold the Lord out 20 years ago. What are you going to say to the Lord? Because this whole life here is such a flash in the pan, really. You can live to 90, you can live to 100. And in your grown-up life, even if you live to 100, that's 80 years of grown-up life. Even the millennium, that's not even the new heavens and the new earth. Just the millennium. That's over 10 times that. You're going to live as a grown-up for 1,000 years just in the millennium before the new heavens and the new earth even come. That's a long time. And the rewards that come for us rising and doing the will of the Lord,
amen,
they're dividends that will never be taken away from you. We will be honored and honored and honored for it. Just as Joshua was, just as Caleb was.
Amen.
Because when you look at that passage, hold your place there in Luke now, just for a moment. But you look at Joshua chapter 14. And this is really the challenge of our generation right now, because in Thessalonians it talks about the Antichrist spirit, but it talks about a restraining force that restrains so that he does not appear ahead of his time. And I'll announce boldly right now, this is not the time for the Antichrist to reign.
That's right.
It is not.
Yeah.
Not.
That's right.
Not at all. This is the time to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Because it has not even gone to the ends of the earth. Just because it's been on TV in half the nations of the earth does not mean that it's gone across the earth.
Yeah.
Because you cannot make disciples over TV. You have to be there. It takes a man or it takes a woman to make a man and a woman. It takes a person to make a person. It takes a person to build a person. The work of the building of the temple is one-on-one, very, very top-heavy. So when you're building your brother and sister, or one that comes to faith, and you're building that one person is going to be, he could be not only a pillar in the temple, if he's built right, and if he's strengthened right, he's going to affect other lives too. And if he does that, they're going to do that. We have that even in our own church too. One of the young men that we came, he came out of a pretty rough background. He was in the Soviet military, actually. He comes, and he's like a weird wheeler dealer. But we need to, like, not necessarily everything just totally, like, I'm not even going to say. He might get this tape. He won't mind. He really won't mind. Because he's become our right-hand man over there. We need to believe God for creative miracles in people that come to the Lord. Just like Saul the persecutor became the great apostle Paul. I mean, what a contrast. The biggest antagonist becomes the biggest protagonist. I mean, this is what we can believe God for. And we need to ask the Lord. Just, you know, ask me the heathen for our inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for our possession. Well, the heathen includes an individual too. When I talked about the parable of the sower, the parable of the Good Samaritan, we now can save not only an individual that's dying on the Jericho Road, bleeding and dying. We can save a whole generation that's bleeding and dying on the Jericho Road. And yet, on the other hand, the one, you take a look at how much airtime is given to Jesus ministering to the one. It's maybe even a little bit more than the crowds. Because the one is the one that is shaped by what you're carrying, your faith. So when we're asking for the heathen for our inheritance, ask the Lord for a one somewhere. Even if it's not you leading to the Lord necessarily, even. I mean, ask for that too. But ask the Lord for certain individuals that are high profile, like Paul was in his day before he got saved. And Lord, get these guys. The ones that you know that they won't receive, make an example of them like you did Pharaoh. Amen. But, do you notice in the book of Acts, they never prayed a blessing on their leaders? They never prayed for Chuck and Nancy to be empowered to prosper. That's why Chuck and Nancy have lasted so long, is because the body of Christ, in their ignorance and stupidity, have prayed blessings instead of asking. What did they do in the book of Acts? The only window into a prayer meeting, what did they do? They brought out a leader that was causing a problem, and they said, Lord, deal with this leader. And they used Psalm 2 as the groundwork for that prayer, which is basically, I think we went there. Did we look at Psalm 2 the last time I was in town? I don't remember. Might have.
I'm not sure. I think we did.
I think so. But you can look at Psalm 2. It talks about why do the heathen conspire?
We did.
And they're conspiring and colluding together. And now, Lord, shake them and terrify them in your wrath. Because if he did that, see, sometimes we think, well, you know, Pharaoh, he'll just, you know, these people, they'll just die and go to hell and then God will settle the score that way. God doesn't want to just settle the score that way. He wants to make an example of Haman to where people will learn and know what happens to Haman when Haman does what Haman did.
Yeah.
And when Pharaoh did. See, the first five miracles, it says, and Pharaoh hardened his own heart. The sixth miracle, it says, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Something happened. Pharaoh used up his get out of jail card free mercy cards.
That's right.
And he just mocked God, mocked his people, and he basically used it up. And at this point, Moses told him, by this time, God could have destroyed you, but now you're going to be made an example of. There will be those people.
Yes.
And there have to be those people. Some of those people have so crossed the line, and that's why they're not going to be shown mercy. The fact that they could be doing the heinous, wicked things that they are is proof positive that they've long passed that line. Because like it says there, you know, I don't ask you to pray for a person that's sinned the sin unto death. Well, you can't always know with an individual living on your street. But when you're looking at the level of the heinousness of certain individuals, you know that these people are marked. They're you can't retrieve those. Paul, it says that I was shown mercy because I did it in ignorance. And there are people out there that are fighting against God. There are people that are fighting against the church. There are people that are fighting against all reasonable things. And if they really had knowledge, they would actually change. We want those people. We gotta change. We say, Lord, get those people. We're gonna have to find those people. Send laborers to those people. This is one thing we can always do, is we can hands-on help individuals, and we can pray for laborers. And we can pray for justice. So, with Joshua and Caleb, if you look at 14:8-9, nevertheless, my brethren, here's Caleb talking here, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. Now just know that in our generation there's going to be people that will make the heart of the general a lot of the body of Christ melt. They're going to say this is crazy. They're going to come up all kinds of names. You know, they're going to come up with, they're going to say, well, prophecy says, well, what are you going to do in the presence of the Lord one day when the Lord says, why didn't you obey? I mean, I'm talking about not you necessarily, but some of these people. What are they going to say when the Lord says to them, why did you not pray? My kingdom rule come. My will be done on earth. You know, because if God's will is being done on earth, then Chuck's and Nancy's will or Fauci's will is not being done on earth. Are you here?
Yeah.
Somebody's will is not being done on earth. If God's will is being done on earth. Because it'll steamroll over. That's the whole point of it. It's actually a declaration of war. That prayer is a very, very militant prayer. Your rule, it's not just kingdom as a static. I mean, you can have a kingdom that does nothing. We are the pirates that don't do anything. You know their old song? I don't know. You had just stagnant. Just do nothing. It's a kingdom that does nothing. It's like a mango sitting on a table. It's not attacking anybody. It's not doing good or bad. It's just there. But when it says your kingdom, it's more from a sense of your power, rule, and dominion come. So we're saying your rule come, your will be done on the earth. You don't have to pray that in the millennium. It's already going to be then. This is the time we need to pray that. But some people think, well, but prophecy says, Sister Sally's and Brother Bob's, what prophecy? And even if we see things in the scriptures, how do you know that it's talking about right now and not 30 years from now? Well, Jesus could come any second. Well, that's almost blasphemous. That's twisted to say that, because are we as a body that enamored and in love with the Lord to where we are a bride now without spot or wrinkle? Because that's what Jesus is coming for.
That's right. Amen.
Has he got it now?
No.
Is he coming for a victorious church?
No, sir.
He's not going to whisk a sad lot out of harm's way that are basically ready to defecate their pants. They're just such an embarrassing lot that the helicopter has to come and quickly rapture them out before things get real bad. You know what I mean? But this is the way a lot of doctrine is. The doctrine is an escapist doctrine, a doctrine that basically gets you to take a box of popcorn and watch a movie as God does all of it. Nothing about popcorn in the scriptures. We are to rise. And it says on a day of God's power, His own will volunteer freely. Not watch, not eat popcorn freely.
Amen.
And they defeated the beast. In Revelation 15, they defeated the beast. We'll go to, I have to find a jumping off spot here shortly, but Revelation 15, they defeated the beast, the number of his name, the Antichrist, the whole system. They didn't run away to Gilligan's Island with two crates of tuna. And they escaped the mark of the beast. It says they defeated the beast, the Antichrist, and the number of his name. They defeated it. Because nothing about God is about giving up. God never told his own to ever lift a white flag to the devil.
Amen.
Ever. Only one time he even said anything remotely resembling that, and that was when Jeremiah told the people that were going into captivity in Babylon, he says, don't fight this because you've earned this so much. God's not listening to you anymore.
Right.
And you're going to Babylon. And so if you go to Egypt, it's not going to turn out well. If you try to fight this, it's not going to go out. Just go to Babylon, receive your paddling on the rear end, and after 70 years, you're going to be free. But you've entertained this, and the land's going to enjoy its Sabbaths. I tell you what, bad stuff can go on. The land can still enjoy its Sabbaths.
Yeah,
we got to understand, we cannot mess with God's righteousness and expect things to go well. Everything about God, it has to go according to restoration and repentance, according to divine rules, according to divine law, according to the rules of the Spirit. God won't violate those things.
Amen.
So it says here then, never, but I wholly follow the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thy inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast fully, wholly, followed the Lord my God. And, you know, it's amazing. Later, verse 12, it says, now give me this mountain. Us that rise, whether we have to wait for certain people to come in line, our commitment to rise and shine will always go on record in the courts of heaven. And we'll receive dividends off it. Even if the fruit is not in entirety forthcoming yet. I believe that there's a lot of things that have happened in the earth. We're just talking about this with Pastor Tui. I don't have anybody in this whole nation that I can go so deep talking about stuff with as your pastor. I'm just telling the honest truth. I mean, we've fellowship with a lot of people. Some are known, some are well, not so known, some are real well known. But I never have consistent talks like I do with your, with your pastor. That's great, but it's not so great that it's hard to even get pastors to talk about the things of God in a lot of places. That's not great. But the time we're in right now, it's important for us to realize that God's going to do a work in the earth. There are certain things that are going to receive punitive judgments. But the people that, see, that's why even in the book of Daniel it says that those that know their God will what? Do exploits. It doesn't say those that know their God will eat popcorn and watch the show. Those that know their God will do exploits, and the rest will be given over to hardship to be purified. What all that means in every context is not for us to decide, but life will be difficult for those who do not walk in the Spirit and in the ways of God. Their minds will be shaken. They'll have a lot of things going on that shouldn't be going on. But those that know their God will be strong. That's why being in a house where you have somebody that has not just brains, but spiritual awareness is a safeguard. And you can grow and flourish in a place like this. Because having been here for a season now, too, in America, having traveled through over 25 states, it's been sweet and sour. I see a lot of new moves with young kids rising up with a zeal to evangelize and even worship God, but they don't have the spiritual know-how how to minister to the Lord. They don't know about the things of the Spirit. There's you know, and so it's a lot of fleshly. It's almost like the prophets of Baal, you know, slashing the wrists at times, you know, trying to make something happen because they're in works and they're not really, they don't really understand what they're doing and ministering to the Lord and their heart with their Father, but their zeal, it's there. And they're wanting to minister to souls. One church even that we ran into, and it had a, their Wednesday night meeting was called the Night of Justice. And I thought, how cool is that? You're going to, this concept is, see, when we're saying your kingdom come, Every nation has a justice system. Amen. The ones in the earth, they're compromised. Yeah. And we can do something about that. How quickly it changes, that's a whole different thing. And in some countries, they may never change. It depends on who's there and praying what. It has changed in some nations before. They're not in the G7 nations. They're out in the Pacific Rim. Entire nations changed. Like the Welsh Revival, the leadership. They're all born again or they're God-fearing. One of these guys in New Guinea, one of the patriarchs there, he says the LGBTQ, that agenda would never make it here. Those guys would get eaten alive, and they were sort of cute about it because that was sort of like the last vestige of cannibalism out in New Guinea. But hundreds of new Christian schools, hundreds of, you know, and the last I talked with him was in 2018. A lot of things can change. I don't know. I hope it's going as well now. He was very up in years, but they got together with a lot of their people just to pray and cry out for their nation. So the reason America is so under attack is because it's the last real frontier against it's the last beachhead against the globalist push and takeover, and that's why they hate it so much. That's why the ones that are sellouts in America, that are basically treasonous actors, really.
Yes.
Rhinos. They're more despicable than anybody. You know, they pretend to be one thing, but they're sellouts. And that's why the southern border being open, you know, if you're wanting to sink a country, you got to keep the border open.
Yeah.
And that's the whole point.
That's the whole point. That's right.
And that's why certain laws are done. Certain laws are done and enacted just to destroy the middle class, so that the people have to, you know, the power resides in a tighter and tighter circle of multinational billion-dollar, you know, corporations. And that's why we have to fight also for justice and cry out so that God raises up laborers that will basically form. They'll be cogs in the wheel. They'll stop the gears from advancing. There are people that can rise up. And I don't want to go too much into this right now, but it is time for us to rise, and it is time for us to shine. And I'll try to pull off there. In Acts chapter 60. But you know, if your finger's still in Psalm 24, let me just go by way of Psalm 24 for a moment. The earth is the Lord's. If you don't see as the earth as being the Lord's, you're gonna be tempted to just. It's one thing if you're a sojourner and see yourself a sojourner in this time and epoch, or you know, but that does not change the fact that the earth is the Lord's, and it does not change the fact that we are to impose and vote that and to say your kingdom rule come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's why that's what these guys started doing in some of these countries where they've had real tangible results, and I've noticed that there was more praying in my spirit. I could tell there's a lot more prayer when we first came here for this nation than now. I think a lot of people have given up. It feels like it. So what we need to do is not to just go, well, yeah, we might as well. If you can't beat them, join them. I'll lift the white flag too. I'll be also like those other 10 that give up. No, we can't do that. Yeah, and you can't look to an individual, because ultimately an individual, if you look to the individual enough, it's a surefire way of having that fail. Because God will not allow a man or a philosophy. See, it's interesting too, because when I received, you know, I was doing the, I'm not sure what the classes in Lifesaver, you know, to become a lifeguard. So I did it on the wrong side of the border. I was up in Canada, you know, as where I grew up as a teenager. And, you know, up there it's called the Bronze Cross, and there's some other things. And, you know, you get all these things that you're having to do, you know, to get to have your lifeguard certificate. And, of course, they teach you that, you know, you don't jump in the water to save somebody that's just all full of energy. You have to wait till that sort of subsides some to where they're not going to, you know, in their panic, have enough strength to jump on top of you and drown both of you. And so they, you know, see, they say you have to wait until they're almost out of fight. And then you go in there, and with a certain methodology, you pull them out. I think to a measure, God has had to go that route, because if we had have had a full victory a number of years prior, who would have got the glory? There would a lot of the Patriot move would have got the glory. Patriots still need to be patriots. We need to be patriots. We need to fight. We need to stand for our country. Except we represent a higher kingdom. So it's not enough to just be patriotic. It's not enough. I mean, there were new age gurus, you know, and different things. You know, they're preaching this and that too, and everybody would have taken the glory. At this point, for God to do all that He wants, it'll be visible. It'll be God. It won't be an individual. It'll be God. And He can do it and wants to do it. So the earth is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's. And the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell in it. All the Anakites, they're actually the Lord's. All these guys are the Lord's. Even the sharpest CEO on in New York somewhere, he wouldn't even find the front door in the morning and know his name if it wasn't for the hand of God. If God totally retracted everything off, I mean, he'd lose his mind, you know, it'd be like Groundhog Day. Yeah. Are you here?
Yeah.
And so it's like we have to realize that God, see, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and He directs it like a watercourse wherever He pleases. Yeah. This is why we need to be in a good place with the Lord, to where we can actually see scriptures, What do you do with Proverbs 19? Well, what do you do with Isaiah 20 or 53? See, yeah, the sickness overtly is there, and yeah, Aunt Molly died with a sickness, but it is written. And as for me in my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And as for me, I believe the Lord. And it's written, He took up our infirmities, carried our diseases. By His wounds, we've been healed. Amen. So that's case closed. That's mine. That belongs to me. So what do you do with Proverbs 19? The word of the Lord says, a false witness shall not go unpunished. A false witness shall not escape. So even though it looks like 100 out of 100 have escaped in the past, the tide's turning. Yeah, we're enforcing this because we have the power to enforce. What we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. That's why the binding and the loosing, it comes immediately after. I will build my church, my ecclesia. And I mentioned this the last time I said, I'm not going to get into the whole thing. But ecclesia is not a word to be defined. It doesn't mean just a called out group. Synagogue is that. But that's, that, you know, an ecclesia in one hand is like that. But ecclesia is more than that. That was the ruling, governing board, and like a congress, of the Greek city-states, and also Romans later used it as well as a governing entity. So when Jesus said, I am raising up my ecclesia, I'm raising up a governing entity that can do something, that can take authority over something, that can change something. That's not a victim. We're not the head, we're the tail. That's why in Luke 18 it says, you know, shall not your father avenge them speedily that cry out for justice? You don't even have to be an old, mature believer. You could be saved three nights ago and call out for justice.
Right.
Jesus continues, but when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on earth? What faith again? This is the faith that overcomes the world. This is a victory that overcomes the world. What faith then? The faith to call out for justice. Will He find that faith? That's the context. So that means that the time we're in, we're to be busy about that. When we see something that's not right, we're to call on God. We're to call on God for justice. We're to call on God for laborers. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, healings, or miracles, healings, helps, governments. As it says in 1 Corinthians 12, the list. And God will do it. He will do it. He will do it. He will do it. And so when it comes, as long as, because if we regard the devil as having a right in this earth, see, it says, the book of John says the devil's been judged. Book of John says, Jesus says the devil's been judged and cast out. Cast out of what? Cast out of his realm of whatever authority he had. He's still here. The devil's not a renter. He's a squatter.
Yeah.
Amen. This also is where some things have been said in the past that have tripped people up. And I gotta jump off this for now because we have got more time after the break. But that's the context of Isaiah as well, where it says, rise and shine. If you look, and I'll plan to conclude with this part here. You read the part here. Oh, gosh. Oh, my gosh. How fast should I jump off? Now. I think I can say it in generalities, and if the Lord leads us back there to look at specifics, it's very exciting. The kind of fast that the Lord declares. And it talks here about, you know, people that it says they seek me daily, delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness. And they ask this and they delight in approaching God, but they weren't doing the will of the Lord. It was all talk and all hot air. And ultimately, the Lord says in 59, He says, the Lord's hand's not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And then he starts listing iniquities. Talking about the blood, the lies, and perverseness coming out of their mouths. And then it says, verse 4, none calleth for justice, nor any pleads for truth. And this is where what we need to be about. And I'll conclude with this thought in Isaiah 42. Because the Lord himself, he's not about to stop. And if we follow the Lord, we're not about to stop. We're going to follow on to know the Lord, and we're going to follow on to be used of the Lord. It says here, Isaiah 42, behold my servant, whom I uphold, my elect, and whom my soul delights. I've put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. And it says here, the end part of 3, says, he shall bring forth judgment unto truth. In other words, he'll make things right. And as it says in Malachi, that those that serve the Lord aren't going to be taken advantage of, that there'll be a difference again between those that serve the Lord and those that don't. Because again, in Isaiah 49, because they didn't call out for justice, truth failed in the streets, justice fell backwards, and basically they depicted situations to where if you didn't kiss the ring and curry favors to the boss, then it'll turn out bad for you. And he says, to put it in modern terms, and the Lord saw it and was displeased that there wasn't justice. And so this is what he wants to produce. He wants to bring forth. It says here, he shall bring forth justice unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he hath said judgment in the earth. Now, let's all rise. I want us to make a consecration here to the Lord that will not be like the 10, but will be those that will stay faithful to press on to know the Lord. Because for those that serve him in this capacity, that's why it happened to Daniel as well. God will reveal things to you. He'll start revealing more and more things to you. He'll start showing you things to pray. He'll start quickening things, quickening things to pray. And you will be a well-watered garden. You'll hear, well done, good and faithful servant. But you'll come into a deeper place of partnership with him. Yes. Thank you, Father. We come to you right now and we say, Lord, we want your power on our lives. We want to grow from faith to faith, grace to grace, glory to glory. And even as the Good Samaritan, that we will take it upon ourselves to approach you on behalf of those that are in difficulty, are in bondage, that are in one form or another bleeding and dying on whatever road and whatever area. We ask, Father, that you create in us hearts of reformation, hearts of change. And as we cry out to you, Father, we cry out that you raise up agents of change and reformation across the earth. That the very things that we're discussing here will become commonplace. Amen. That the message will become commonplace. The stirring and activization of your people will become commonplace. Even as it says, in the day of your power, your own will volunteer freely. May there be a volunteering freely of those that will rise and that will shine, because their light has come. And the glory of the Lord shall be upon them. Even though there's thick darkness upon the people, your glory shall shine through them. And we thank you, Father God, that those, even the backsliders, so many, they will return. They will come back to the place. And leaders to the brightness of our dawning. Lepan Manasha, Dolonga Bofonzam, Eshkamaya Mantore Afamangala Tanjano Fori, Mankalvo Oce. Rivandolose mantiva, askemense mention, siste fanche stufra, stufra, frande felle detense atrovongo shotofri fase, belle de bande benange per congrebaste mention, siste fasto shucho frifastes, elle de bandro flose fristans and siste stanza barcar de vestes, jotor vandre carsivle e franzatre fastuje chofristas. For even in this county, the Lord desires to turn the fate of different ones that are going in the wrong direction. But the Lord wants to turn their direction to be one that fights for the kingdom, that rises for the name of the Lord. And one person shall affect another, and one person shall affect another, and another shall affect another yet. And there shall be a spreading of such people that rise into a place of living wholeheartedly for the Lord. And the fire of God will increase. The fire of God shall increase. And the mastef labrastos stonja balakori osa fristasos super costos. And the mastaf rebristas la ponore batri fastos suche stufra fastos. Meladandro vori mancri farastisi asansistisis. And in this place of consecration of those walking with the Lord, they'll be birthed. A greater move of the Holy Ghost, a greater move of miracles, not only of the intimacy of the Lord, but it'll have an outworking, and there shall be things that take place, even as you read in the book of Acts, they shall take place more and more frequently, and yet more and more frequently. So contend for these things, long for these things, search for these things, covet these things, for this is the future, and this will change the valley. It will change this territory. It will change the nature of this territory. And the revival that has been planned for this region shall come to pass, but it shall come pass in the power of the Holy Spirit. Shefafra stongla corio sendra vista sambalotoshko sista barastenze. So contend for the ways of Pentecost. Contend for the ways of the Spirit. For the flesh profits nothing. Contend for the ways of the power of God. In Jesus' name. Paladanzo stovra sushkis. Hastamanembe master felidit ista stonzos. Oshatovra trista masandas sibalatistis. Lift up your hands in this place right now, Father. We receive that place that you have. A greater place. A beacon light. There shall be a yielded company ready for the return, ready for the manifestation of the Lord. Blessed and praised be your holy name, Father. Jetesta vasiri kili tiesta santo nosto sopra castas. Losto suva vastos. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 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 Ratosto hobaduskos. If you've got pain in your body, if you've got sickness in your body, it's going to do this afterwards, but we may do that after anyway. But I'm just going to proclaim over your bodies right now, because we've gone long in time. But it can be the same as if hands were laid on you. Jesus healed more through the speaking over a body than he did even through the laying on of hands. Right where you are right now, whatever it is that's troubling your body, if there's anything pain-wise that's ailing your body, if there's anything that you've been disturbed or concerned about, even if it's not sleeping properly at night, I'm going to count to three, and on three, receive it as if somebody laid hands on you. I'm going to proclaim the word of the Lord over your life, proclaiming deliverance to the captives. Whatever it is that has captivated any part of your body, it could be a shoulder, it could be a knee, it could be anything, it could be blood pressure. And as I say, as I count to three, I'm gonna just say receive, and let that be the point of contact. Let that be as if somebody just laid hands on you right that moment. Father, I thank you right now that as we pray right now, I thank you for your power and delivering power going forth over the people. And I thank you, Father, for the breaking forth of your healing and deliverance and your power that will set bodies free, set minds free, set dream lives, and or just the sleep free from every hindrance and oppression. And I thank you, Father. We proclaim over blood pressure. Say, yes. you be normal, you be healthy, you be strong. And I say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, 1, 2, 3, receive now in Jesus' name into your body. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet, receive into your body right now. Be delivered throughout your knees. Be delivered throughout your kidneys. And somebody here that's been struggling with kidney stones, the Lord sets you free from the tendency of having kidney stones any longer. Your body shall not act that way. It shall not produce any crystalline formation in the form of kidney stones any longer. So be it in Jesus' name. We bless and praise your name, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And let a new strength come into the bodies of the entire church. May they be blessed. Spirit, soul, body, legally, financially. Let them be blessed with strength. Let their families be blessed. And let goodness come to their families because of their righteousness, even as you've spoken, and let their faith be in that, because this is your economy, Lord. This is the way you operate. So let it be done in their lives. Let them be blessed in Jesus' name.